So this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 154B. We're on page 650. I'm counting the pages. There's about 45 pages to go in the book. And some of them will be repetitions of what we have studied before. We will see if any additional insight can be given. We're dealing here with the rays now and the planets. We've just gone through what DK calls the kingdoms of nature and the planets in this cycle. Probably in other cycles, those planets could be, those kingdoms could be ruled by other planets if they have developed other functions, and we've been given a couple of planets in each case, and sometimes I've added another, a third. So here we have the rays and the planets. Each of the seven sacred planets, of which our Earth is not one, is an expression of one of the seven ray influences. And I would tend to say one or more. Because DK even gives us more. For the Earth, he gives us three rays. At the present, the expression is largely third ray, but increasingly in a transitional period, the second ray as well. These seven planets may be enumerated as follows, and the rays working through them are accurately given. However, the student must remember three things: that every planet is the incarnation of a life, an entity, or a being. I think we have no problem with that. We've been stating it over and over. That every planet, like a human being, is the expression of two ray forces, the personality and the egoic, and later of the monadic. So the synthesizing planets are now expressing something of their monadic ray, not the non-sacred planets. And this is true of the sacred planets as well, but the synthesizing planets, which are sacred as well, express even more of the monadic ray, that two rays are therefore in esoteric conflict in each planet. Well, we are not given the personality rays of the sacred planets, apparently. So, we will not know for the sacred planets which rays are in esoteric conflict, but we may be able to presume. For instance, let's say for Mercury, well, let's say for Vulcan, maybe ray one soul is in conflict with a ray five or ray seven personality. Both of those rays would relate Vulcan to the mineral kingdom. For Mercury, this is all, you know, this is a speculation, right? Hopefully intelligent, but okay. At least a speculation. For Mercury, the ray 4 soul is in conflict with the ever-mobile ray, unstable ray 3 personality. For Venus, the ray 5 soul is in conflict. Well, maybe not for Venus anymore, because Venus has overcome so much. Probably that conflict is long over. And there are degrees of the conflict. For sacred planets, the conflict cannot be as great as for non-sacred planets in which the soul ray is emerging. Conflict with the ray 2 personality. For Earth, we definitely know. The ray 2 soul is in conflict with the Ray 3 personality. For Mars, the, what would it be? Ray 1 soul, question mark, is in conflict with the Ray 6 personality, and Mars is mostly expressing the Ray 6, but definitely it is the school for destroyers, and it's a red planet, and red-orange and red-orange, they're both colors of the first ray. So Mars really has a lot of the first ray beneath all of its militant idealism. For Jupiter, what can we say? Speculation, the ray 2 soul is in conflict with the what? Ray 6 personality? I don't think it's Ray 7. Don't think it's Ray 1. Is it the same? Just like the sun. You know, a Ray 2 personality and a Ray 2 soul, there would be different parts of the ray to conflict with each other. It's the, let's say, in its personality, it is the planet, planet of excess. Now, either the second ray or the sixth ray could be involved in excess, you know, of overdoing. So this remains to be seen for Saturn. For Saturn, the ray 3, let us say, soul, probably, is in conflict with the Ray 1 personality. I have at times thought that the personality of Saturn could be the seventh ray. It's a little bit harsh for the seventh ray and a little bit detached. But it certainly has to do with condensation and materialization and order. So either Ray 1 or Ray 7 personality, I've at times thought that the soul nature of Saturn could be the first ray. Certainly its monadic nature is the third. And DK always gives us Saturn as the third ray. It's a sacred planet, so you would think maybe it just has to be the Ray 3 soul. And in an obscure reference, he talks about the esoteric ray of Saturn, and he gives it as the third ray. So that might be a double three, in some way really embodying the energies of the previous solar system. But Saturn is a major distributor of the first ray, and so if its soul ray and monadic ray are both ray 3, monadic confirmed and soul ray according to the pattern by which DK usually presents sacred planets, then that first ray has to come from the personality. For Uranus, the Ray 7 soul, Ray 7 soul, is in conflict, but, you know, with these sacred planets, of course, and especially synthesizing planets, much has been overcome. Developmentally, they're slower, just the way our higher chakras unfold later in their completeness than the earlier chakras, but spiritually, they are high. With the Ray 5 personality, or actually Ray 3 personality, or Ray 5 personality. There's much to suggest Uranus's connection with electricity, Ray 5, yes, and also with mobility and, migrations, and the refugee situation where you move from one place to another. Relocations. So let's call this migrations and relocations. And for Pluto, we know pretty much. For Neptune, the Ray 6 personality, soul, is in conflict with the what? With the Ray 3 personality, the trident. the ray 4 personality, the connection with the Buddhic plane. It is a ray 2 monad, and it is a ray 6 soul, but on the outer level, Neptune veils and misleads and confuses. Veils, misleads, and confuses. Like the lower ray 3. Is it possible? The trident, we're told that Neptune is the god of reasoning. Do we mean the god of pure reason because of its connection with the Buddhic plane? Or of reasoning? Of course, the pure, it's kind of a shocking thought, the god of reasoning, because so many Neptunian people, in a way, fail to reason, which is why, well, one of the reasons why we have the fall of Mercury in the Neptunian sign, which is Pisces. And for Pluto, what is the conflict? The ray what personality is in conflict with the ray what soul, it should be, is in conflict with the ray one personality. Pluto is the destroyer. It has a lot of connection with the first ray and with the mental rays as well, and it is very strategic. It has the helmet of invincibility. It allows one to disappear. Is it a ray 3 soul? Question mark. Or a ray 6 soul? I think that its monadic ray is on the monastic line. I think that the monadic ray of Pluto is on the monastic line. There's so much research that is done. Could be the fifth and the third. Maybe the fifth and the third rays as the major monadic ray. Anyway, that's what we've been dealing with here. Every planet, like every human being, is the expression of two ray forces, the personality and the egoic, later the monadic, and that the two are therefore in esoteric conflict, but a big but the higher the planet, the more advanced, the less the conflict. Of course, Mercury is called the star of conflict. Interestingly enough, that 4-3 conflict in Mercury is very much like the rays of the Orient. And we do find in the Orient a very bewildering, quizzical, not straightforward approach, a very veiled approach in the personality. And a lot of the attempt to take material advantage. Just think of the whole idea of bargaining and the bazaar. There's no definite price. Here in the West, there's a definite price. Well, you can bargain, of course, but in the bazaar, there's never a definite price, and there's a back and forth where each side tries to take advantage. Third ray is a very concrete example, of course. And the fourth ray of beauty and symbolism and the revelation of divinity through the intuition, that's definitely there. But it's interesting when the rays of a planet in some way correspond to another set of rays. It's like the Occident and the Orient. I don't find any where we have a exact correspondence like the Occident and the Occident. We could look at Jupiter. I mean, Jupiter, as you look at it, looks like a 2 and a 4 together. It looks like, and, you know, it looks like the fourth ray, but I don't see the conflict there, nor especially the harmony, but its lives, well, it is called a college of quadruple force units. The number 4 is involved. And it's related to the fourth sign, Cancer, in an exalted position. So is there a fourness to it? It is connected with the moon, the four. And it fulfills the form, the four. But I don't really see the fourth ray in the Jupiterian function, per se. Except its close connection to Cancer and the form, and the fourth vehicle. I see much more in the Jupiterian attitude, that uplift, I'm on my way, I'm going somewhere, I have a mission. And that is the enthusiasm, you might say, the aspiration of the sixth ray. That's more what I see on the personality level. Well, so on a planet like the Earth, there's a big esoteric conflict between the becoming soul, the emerging soul, and the very well-established personality. I don't know how far things have gone on Mars and whether the soul is really emerging there. Because even though these are great gods, on their own particular level of development, the cosmic soul may not yet be emerging. And is it emerging in Pluto? It's very hard to say. We're not in a position to say. There is a connection with the solar plexus, definitely. The disappearance into the smoke of Hades. The disappearance of many things. And, you know, when you talk about the world of the dead, Hades and such terms have to do with the astral plane, over which Pluto could well preside, especially presiding over the lower levels of the astral plane, the hell worlds, right? And that's the sixth plane. So Pluto, I'll just mention it, a ray six soul, we could say Pluto presides over the lower levels of the astral plane. But it's also a very mental planet, and we always find it involved in research and detection, bringing to light that which is hidden and penetrating in the understanding to the secret formula. So there are some blanks here, of course, or some big questions. And a long time ago, I kind of evolved this system more than 20 years ago in the Journal of Esoteric Psychology. But I've had time to think about it now, and I've revealed a few further thoughts. It should be noted that until the mystery of the constellation of the Great Bear is revealed, and until the influence of the Pleiades is comprehended, the true significance of the cosmic triangle formed by the seven Rishis of the Great Bear, the seven planetary logoi of our system, and the seven Pleiades or sisters, is also revealed. The true significance of the cosmic triangle formed by blah, blah, blah is also revealed. The destiny and the function of the sacred planets will remain unknown. So this is a repetition of one we dealt with earlier. And let's just say that, in a sense, will and mind are being provided to the planetary logoi by means of these two. But let us also remember the cosmic buddhi which flows from the Pleiades, and how on TCF 1162 that buddhic energy was being absorbed by a planetary logos, not only the planetary logos of our Earth. So 1162 is a very important page there. It seems that, you know, what is the Pleiades is giving Manus to the heavenly men. But is it also in some degree educating them in cosmic buddhi? Now, Sirius, though the cosmic Christ that okay? I'm going to look here. Cosmic. We don't have cosmic Christ, but we should. Cosmic Christ. Cosmic Christ. Okay. We'll put that in. Maybe we have it in another way here, but it's one of those things we should have. Sirius, though the cosmic Christ, may not yet be in a position to confer such energies upon the heavenly men. Because, you know, it's Sirius, interestingly, is often associated with the cosmic mental plane and cosmic astral plane as the terminus of the path to Sirius, the terminus of the path to Sirius, but not the cosmic Buddhic plane. Cosmic Buddhic plane. So just as Venus has Buddhic reverberations, but is not associated with the Buddhic plane of our systemic Buddhic plane, with our systemic Buddhic plane, so Sirius may have cosmic Buddhic resonance, but is not directly associated with the cosmic Buddhic plane. And, you know, Sirius, of course, is a less developed system than the Pleiadian system. Sirius has a very strong monastic soul ray, where it's beginning to appear that the Pleiades have a strong love wisdom soul ray. And what that would mean is that the soul ray, the cosmic soul of the one about whom not may be said, would be the second ray. Some have thought that the Pleiades are a direct higher correspondence to the rays of our planetary logos 1, 2, 3. I cannot say this is true or false. I can only say that when you look at the origin of the Pleiades, the triangle on page 344, you will find that it comes out of the third triangle, and it seems to be a great third triangle source. So it is maybe not so likely that the third ray is only the outer ray. It may be, but the highest ray may be the third ray as well. We'll have to see. So at least until these the nature of this triangle, which really feeds the planetary logoi, is revealed, then the destiny and the function of this seven sacred planets will remain unknown. So destiny is of the monad, and function is variable. As I tried to say, you know, any human being can fill any function depending on his training. At a low level of training, a planetary logos might fulfill a lower function. At a higher level of training, we might rise in that function. Whereas Neptune may have a lot to do with the heart and the head center of our solar logos at present. It may move on, in a way, to another and higher function. And that function might be fulfilled by the being Jupiter, who is now ruling the heart center. That's the idea of moving up through the ranks. The same being, but different functions. Within this cosmic triangle are many lesser ones, and we've looked at that. Any one of the seven rishis with one of our planetary logoi and one of the seven sisters can form subsidiary triangles, and the combinations are possible, are many and intricate, and we have talked about this to a degree. For instance, when I suggested that at this time the first ray planet in our solar system from the sole perspective is Vulcan. So there could be a Bennet Nash, Alcyone, Vulcan connection. Or, you know, can there be a connection to first-ray Pluto? It's also possible. But we're usually talking about the seven planetary prototypes, the seven sacred planets in relation to the stars of the Great Bear and the Pleiades. And then I went on, you know, recently to describe the, we know pretty much or have a good idea from reasoning and from certain documents that the connection of the rays to the stars in the Great Bear is Bennet Nash 1, Mizar 2, Allio 3, Megrez 4, Dubay 5, Merrick 6, Phegda, connected with serpents, interestingly, the 7. Then with the Pleiades, Alcyone 1, this is more speculative, Maia 2, Merope 3, Asterope 4, Electra 5, Seleno 6, Taygete 7. I'll have to talk this over with Nicholas. He and I came up with some configurations, not exactly the same, and all you can do is reason towards them. Check the lore, check the hints in the stellar lore, and find out what is being hinted here. Now, we did this paragraph before. I don't know why they have it twice. And emphasized other things. Note, in the occult books there are many enumerations of the planets, and many of these are simply blinds, and the sacred and non-sacred planets are deliberately intermixed. In the Tibetan books there are several such enumerations, that is, the two listed above and the following. So this must be interpolated by the editor. Added, probably. With the seven planets, centers or schemes, and we did discuss this earlier, of course, the three synthesizing planets are first, second, and third ray monads, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, Vulcan, the Sun exoterically considered? Or is it really, well, yes, the Sun exoterically, this is exact reverse. In this case, we're not exactly talking about removals from the Sun. Venus is not the next planet, but it has a strong second ray, the monad of Mars. Well, Mars is connected with the activity aspect. Earth is out of order. Mars should be on the other side. Mercury oftentimes is associated with the fifth chain or fifth globe. Saturn is usually, if we simply count the ordinary planets, which would be Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn would be the sixth from the Sun, if we do not count Vulcan. Then it is the seventh, and Jupiter having much seventh ray, but being the fifth from the Sun. Why put them in this order? They're really mixed up. But there are hints, because, you know, Venus, strong second ray, Mars, activity aspect strong. Certainly Mars seems to me has the third ray in its personality and nature, and maybe, well, you know, when you look at the monadic nature of Mars, it seems, being the orange planet, to have a fifth ray monad. What is its soul? It is connected with science and with the five senses, very strong five. So we have to find a place for Ray 5. The Earth is the fourth from the Sun, but its rays are 1, 2, 3. Mercury has a fifth ray monad, the lower monad. This is speculation. Ray 5 monad, the lower monad. Kind of a subray of its major ray, which probably is going to be the third. I think we cannot give Mars, the school for destroyers, a third ray monad in any sense. But there's a strong sense that is connected with science and the senses. The five senses on all levels. Maybe there are seven, but usually consider Brahmically five. And Mars is a pretty Brahmic planet. So we can find reasons for the placement of these planets, but no overarching reason, because there's such a mixture of soul rays, monadic rays, personality rays, and distance from the Sun. Strong second ray, not counting Vulcan, it is the second from the Sun. And Saturn is the sixth from the Sun if we don't count Vulcan. But Saturn has so little to do, it seems, with the sixth position, except HPB says that Saturn rules the, you remember this, very odd, devotional faculties. And we've talked about why that could be so. Jupiter does have the ceremonial seventh ray. These are not in order, but they are in ray order. The following are in ray order. Okay. Are in ray order. Monadic ray. Ray. Well, okay, and this is actually a tabulation which we probably looked at earlier. We have to see how they are switching things around. The one resolver is the Sun, finally, because the theory is, that the Sun is the final absorber, and this we see in the, there it is. But I like the one my wife did a little better. It's I like that. But the Sun is the one resolver here. And whatever may end up in Neptune, perhaps as the final absorber for this second major solar system, will have to flow into, the principles will have to flow or be retracted into the Sun. Now, if we look here, in esoteric astrology, whatever page we're on, maybe let's go to 652. The first one given above will be accurate for this world period and will be the basis of our astrological teaching. The informing lives of the seven planets are called by the following names. But okay, so here is a here is a tabulation, and here is another tabulation, and do we have another, yet another tabulation? Which is the first one given above? It's not Annie Besant's tabulation, and it may not be this one. Do we mean, then, perhaps, this particular tabulation? And then we have another tabulation, and the rays and the planets, followed by the tabulation we just dealt with. So which one is meant? Perhaps this 12-fold tabulation is accurate for our period. The first one given above, it's hard to determine which he means, which does he mean, will be regarded as accurate for this world period and the basis of our astrological teaching. It seems to be the one found on page 650, I guess. Anyway, the one we're given here is not considered to be correct for our astrological teaching. So, which does he mean? Is it the one on page 650? Okay. So we certainly have our work cut out for us when we want to disentangle some of these tabulations and understand the true esoteric meaning behind them. So the first tabulation above, as he says, will be regarded as accurate for this world period, and will be the basis of our astrological teaching. It seems that the tabulation we're talking about is this one, where the Sun is substituted here for Vulcan, Jupiter and Saturn, and where we have 12 factors, two of them undiscovered. The later tabulation does not deal with the undiscovered planets. At least of the tabulations that we see here, that seems to be the most the most reasonable. I don't think we're talking about the mineral kingdom, vegetable kingdom, etc., that we have examined. It's this one. Now, unless he says something about for this world period. I think not. So, this particular tabulation we're talking about is the one that we will pay attention to. The seven planets, centers, or schemes. Not this, but the one a little bit higher than this. This one. Where it says that seven great psychological lives, qualified by seven types of life force, are manifesting through the medium of seven planets. Five other lives express themselves through five planets, of which two remain to be discovered. Okay. Now, let's go on to the next point, we have here the idea, the informing lives of the seven sacred planets are called by the following names, okay? And we'll be familiar, I think, with some of these. But first, let's get ourselves, be assured that we have the necessary red bracket. The seven planetary logoi and the seven spirits before the throne. In this case, all sacred. The seven Kumaras, and they are especially planetary Kumaras. The seven solar deities. That is a little more obscure, because one would think that it was possible to relate suns and solar logoi to the idea of solar deities. The primordial seven, reasonable. The seven builders, especially since they have so much of the second aspect as dragons of wisdom. The seven intellectual breaths, and here intellectual, the term intellectual means more a Buddhic the seven Manus, and this is in a planetary sense, not not the many intra-planetary Manus. For each globe, for instance, for each chain, and so forth. The Manus for the scheme. The flames can connect them, connected with the Lords of the Flame and with the Solar Angels. They can all both be called by that name, Lords of Love, Knowledge, and Sacrifice. Good, but not yet, relatively, Lords of Will, as is the Solar Logos, a Lord of Will. All right. Now, we come to a section that we have dealt with before. Maybe not altogether. We're talking about the retrogression through the signs, which is called the clockwise wheel. And these are the words, Pisces through Aries. And the word said, go forth into matter. We realize how much the waters of space are matter, and Pisces is connected with them. So we can get very material and veiled conditions in Pisces. And the word said for Aquarius, let desire in form be ruler. Aquarius is connected with the lowest of the creative hierarchies and with the that sustaining life in the lower worlds. The center is missing. This is interesting. I think it's correct. The center of the early Aquarian is missing. It's a premature decentralization, the very thing we seek for on a higher turn of the spiral. We seek for that on a higher turn of the spiral once the Leo phase has been successful. So without centrality and will, there is desire and multiplicity. The search for many, many types of satisfaction, which are not really one-pointedly directed. Capricorn, and the word said, let ambition rule and the door stand wide. The first ray is released here. The lesser mountains are climbed, and this is all done for the sake of the lower ego. Sagittarius, the hunter, let food be sought. It brings in that power of concentration, even on a lower level. The power of concentration for the fulfillment of lower desire as the centaur. Fulfillment. How many L's does it have? Okay. Scorpio, and the word said, let Maya flourish and deception rule, so one is blinded by vice and in the control of the Hydra. The Maya is, in a larger sense, glamour, illusion, glamour, and Maya in the technical sense. So everything that veils and deceives, and there is much of the third ray in a interior sense in this triple sign. It's true that in the indirect manner, no third ray is given to any constellation on the fixed cross from any of the other constellations. There's no constellationally transmitted third ray. But when you think about this triple sign, it has the third ray just as Virgo does. Just as Virgo does. Right. Okay. Now, Libra, And the word said, let choice be made. This is obvious. And the choice is made often on the basis of desire. Virgo, and the word said, let matter reign. It brings in the materialism from the previous solar system. Leo, and the word said, let other forms exist, I rule, and then it sometimes goes on to say, because I am. I rule because I am. The mere fact that I am is enough to give me preeminence without evaluation. So this is the pinnacle of control, not self-control, but egoistic control of others. Cancer, in the word, said that isolation be the rule, and yet the crowd exists. So we have mass consciousness in the crowd, and isolation of the consciousness within the containing vehicles. So there is the sense of being separated, a separate individual, unable to connect because of the dense walls. Because of the dense vehicular, and we'll call them walls in the figurative sense. Gemini, let instability do its work. Well, at least many contacts will arise, and at least familiarity with variety. Taurus, in the word, said, let struggle be undismayed. We struggle to fulfill our lower desires. And Aries, let form again be sought for the sake of fulfillment of desire. I think there are British ways of doing this and American ways of doing this, to spell a word like fulfillment. I think we have the right connection. Maybe there's only one L in the British English, perhaps. And from the angle of the soul, spiritual order and establishing spiritual order, and this is the correct passing through the sign, if these are DK's words, it would seem that the retrogressive passage is, therefore, incorrect. And we're so familiar with these. I come forth and from the plane of mind I rule. This is the higher mind. There can be a lower type of expression of this, but we are within the will of the soul. And from that type of identification comes the rulership of the lower vehicles, lower principles and vehicles. Taurus, I see in the light, I see, and when the eye is opened, all is illumined, the opening of the wisdom eye. Gemini, I recognize my other self, and from the waning of that self, I grow and glow. I establish, the soul objectivity, spiritual objectivity, objectivity which arises from positioning my consciousness within the higher self. Objectivity. These, you know, everyone, even if you don't know much about astrology, almost everyone following the full moon work knows these. I build a lighted house and therein dwell, the illumination of three vehicles. Personality, soul, and eventually, monadic. I am that and that I am. This is the all-inclusive statement which has banished ahamkara. So the suchness of the Buddha is detected. The essence, the being, the substanding, the presence, the something far more deeply interfused is realized, and one identifies as that. One identifies as that out of which all things emerge. Virgo, triple deity. I am the mother and the child also. I, God, I, matter, am. Spirit and matter, the triple deity. Libra, I choose the way which leads between the two great lines of force, the soul path in one way, and later the Sushumna into Shambhala, in a way choosing later that which is neither of the pairs of opposites. Scorpio, warrior am I, and from the battle I emerge triumphant. This is the crisis of the battlefield, and we can say three initiations and even four, proving one's prowess in the lower world, which is under the third ray. Sagittarius, I see the goal, I reach that goal, and then I see another. It is a divine discontent, integration, and the journey into a larger sphere in search of a larger integration. The one-pointedness of Sagittarius and its straight line indicates the ability to bring all aspects of the self into focus, into integration. Capricorn, lost am I in light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back. The supernal light demands the infusion of spirit as well as soul. So this is glory on the mountaintop. Mountaintop. MT. Mountaintop. MNTP. Fair enough. Glory on the mountaintop and responsible service to the lower lives. In other words, overcoming selfishness, overcoming spiritual selfishness, and sacrificing the glory of the transcendent point of view. Well, one may still retain it if truly adept. Aquarius, I, water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. The life more abundant for the unnourished auras. Life more abundant for the undernourished auras, and I want to say for the spiritually undernourished auras. I leave the Father's home, and turning back I save. It's the complete monadic pilgrimage. Complete monadic pilgrimage. A realization that one is on that pilgrimage. and the urge which was in the monad, i.e. salvation of the lower lives, becomes the urge of the increasingly soul-infused and monadically infused human being. Well, you know, that's just a quick rundown of something that we're all familiar with, but maybe from a different angle, or at least a reminder of the major issues. You know, when you're in esoteric astrology a good long time, these themes really become part of you, and more, perhaps we can do what DK suggests, that during the month when the sign is powerful, we utilize those energies. Right now, this is the time of Leo in the year 2013, and we're between blue moons and the realization of that should be paramount. So paramount that I want to write it down in my little black book. Okay, see that? You should have one too. Doesn't have to be black. It can be any color. It's got to be a spiritual diary. Realization of that. Now, during Leo. Two blue moons. What a wonderful opportunity with the Sirian energy so strong. I'm trying actually to complete this book under the commentary on this book at this time. There are still 40 pages to go. Energies originating within the solar system. Okay, we have the solar system, and the entity manifesting is the solar logos. The body of manifestation is the solar system. Usually considered to be the higher analog of the etheric physical body. Thus, the cosmic astral body, cosmic astral body and cosmic mental body of the solar logos are not considered, at least as far as I think so, the way it's usually said, not considered to belong to the solar system proper. What is the receptive center here? It's a pole. The pole of the central sun. Well, that's interesting. Does DK mean monadic receptivity? Somehow from the Great Bear, from the Pleiades, from Sirius, is there a monadic receptivity of the solar logos? I'm trying to see whether he has... He's given us names for the planetary logo. I don't think he's given us this kind of tabulation for the planetary logos. Either that or my memory is very short. It'll come. I see it's coming. So it's the pole of the central sun. What is the central sun? Well, we have to ask, is the, quote, central sun, the central spiritual sun, which is the monad of the solar logos. Just as the central spiritual sun, symbolically, considered in terms of man, is man's monad. The surface radiation or emanation is solar prana, received by various centers in the solar system and by the spleen in man. The movement produced is systemic rotation. And this this is not revolution. This is about 100,000 Earth years. Our orientation, I wonder if we will ever see a difference in orientation due to our own rotation, our own revolution around this sun. This seems to be an undetected rotation. The sun revolves every 27 days or so. But this, the rotation of the system, or the, what's it called, the solar atom, is a much longer proposition, requiring high mathematics to determine. The distributive effect is solar etheric radiation, felt cosmically because every center and the sun is a center or chakra, must distribute its radiation to its environment. In this case, a cosmic environment. So this is what we say of our solar logos: energies originating within the solar system. A solar logos is manifesting through 7 sacred planets, eventually through 12, 5 of which are non-sacred now, and through many, many other planets and planetoids and asteroids, and has within its sphere of influence all manner of lesser lives for which it is the source of life and the sustainer of all of the faculties they are developing. The solar system is the body manifestation, the receptive center, the pole of the central sun. We don't just mean the pole of the visible sun, though there is, I suppose, a receptivity there as well. But the central sun is the monadic nature, and higher things would be received. Also, we would think that there would be receptivity around the etheric pole, and on many levels. But he does say central sun, and it seems to be central spiritual sun, unless it's just a terminological problem. The movement produced, the radiation or emanation solar prana, it's received in the solar system. The movement produced is systemic rotation, not just the rotation of the solar sphere. The distributive effect is felt cosmically among the 7 solar systems, of which ours is one. It's probably, in a way, it's solar etheric radiation, but with much heart energy. As for our solar logos, God is love. Okay. Now about the planet. The entity manifesting is a planetary logos, and the body of manifestation, a planet, which is, in a way, just one of 49 globes, and maybe even 70. As we discuss these centers within the planetary scheme, the receptive center is a planetary pole. But here, we do not speak of the monad. I believe the solar pole is also receptive, and the solar etheric pole, and everything is revolving, and probably even the solar causal body has an axis, so that there is reception on the cosmic mental plane of very high energies, and eventually monadic reception. So, you know, going back for just a moment, I would just say, compare to the planetary pole, which is the receiving center for the planetary logos. Something similar should exist, and we should not be limited only to the central spiritual sun. Maybe the term central sun has something to do with an etheric structure. Anyway, it's difficult to decipher that particular term, but the pole is always a point of reception of higher energies. The surface radiation is planetary prana, and what does DK say? Absorbed by, by the pores. of a human being. Right. Movement produced, planetary rotation on its axis. And distributive effect, planetary etheric radiation felt within the system. You know, all planets are a feeling, the quality of the other planets, and that quality reaches them in etheric radiation. But the astral plane too has an etheric part, and so does the mental plane. So is the etheric radiation only strictly etheric? That's the question. Well, okay, I believe we are at the point, yes we are, where we can say that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology 154B. It looks like maybe we've made a little progress with the pages because of familiar material, 654. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology 154C, page 654.